You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of November 21st, 2017, and episode number 338. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Yeah, 338, November 21st. Wow, I don't know. It seems like the year was going by really fast, and then it slowed down. All of a sudden, it's picking up speed again. I don't know about you, but I guess when you get older, time goes by faster, they say. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Anyway. We've got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. Usually, this time of the year, the politics and the real world kind of stuff starts to get out of hand, and the paranormal news just kind of goes away. Not this year. Right now, there's a lot of stuff going on, and tonight we're going to talk about mountain lions as fake news. Wow. Odds are improving that the Loch Ness Monster will be discovered. And we're going to talk about Bigfoot versus Yeti, a cage match. Well, maybe. The fate of the Arecibo radio telescope has been announced. And we'll talk about another new planet discovery and the conference that was not heard around the world. And does it take a rocket scientist to tell if the Earth is not flat? I wasn't going to talk about that, but I think I might get into that tonight. And NASA says enough with the Planet X already. And we're going to talk also about the latest moon landing was fake evidence. We're going to analyze that evidence tonight. Also, a book of the week. It's going to be another magazine. I know. I don't know if you guys like the magazines. I love these magazines, all these special editions. I'm a sucker for these things. I like to buy them up. They're expensive, but it's good stuff. Anyway, tonight's episode is brought to you by the new Mountain Dew Holiday Brew. That check didn't clear. Tonight's news is brought to you by the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. IMHS is a premier online and distance learning university that offers high-quality doctorate and doctoral PhD metaphysics degrees that will enhance your life and career, even if your career is not in the metaphysics field. Metaphysics is the scientific study of consciousness, existence, and reality, and includes such topics as theoretical mathematics to quantum physics to cosmology to psychic phenomena. For more information on the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. I think I need some Mountain Dew to get me through tonight. Anyway, what is going on? Well, if you didn't know, earlier this year, I published my sixth book, Handbook for the Amateur UFO Investigator, and you could get your hands on that on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com and probably a few other places. And you can buy it also if you go to the ParanewsInsider.com website, the web hub for all of the paranormal news and information here about the show. Right there on the front page, I got a little mini bio. And you can click on that where it says six books, and that'll take you directly to my book page. You can check out all the books I've written on basically the basics of all of these anomalous fields that I'm talking about. UFOs, the last one was cryptozoology. Then I wrote four on the ghost field. So you can get caught up to my basics, my intros to all this stuff, and I don't know. I got a lot of irons in the fire, oars in the water. I don't know. All these other strange sayings. But working on some other projects, and hopefully we'll have some of that stuff out sometime next year, including something possibly that has to do with this show. So, ooh, teaser. That's what we call it in the biz, teaser. So speaking of ParanewsInsider.com, the events listing has been updated. I started to do it for 2018. Still, obviously, a lot of events are still getting finalized. There's some websites that I'm waiting for to come back online. New events coming out. I've got a few emails that I still have yet to respond. So if you're listening and you send me an email in the last two or three days, I have not had a chance. But tonight, I'm going to update all that information and get it 100% ready to go for you guys. So yeah, 2018 looks like it's going to be a record year for paranormal conferences and conventions. It looks like there's a lot of good events happening all over the place. And I'm excited about that. And I'm also going to be holding one myself. The Twinsburg Paranormal Conference will be taking place February 17th, 2018. And you might be asking yourself, well, where in the heck is Twinsburg? Well, Twinsburg is in Ohio. And every year, it's Twinsburg holds the Twins Festival. It's freaky. If you're not used to seeing twins, triplets, quadruplets, people that look exactly the same, it's a little freaky. The first few times you see a bunch of these people walking around, and usually they dress the same all weekend long, it's freaky. You won't see them because that's usually in September, so you probably won't see all the twins walking around. But Twinsburg, Ohio is right in between Akron and Cleveland, and yes, it's in February, but it's close to it's right off of a state route and right off of a couple of interstates, so I guarantee you these roads will be nice and clear. It's well after the worst couple of weeks, but you never can tell. It is Northeast Ohio with the weather, but the road shouldn't really be a problem. I mean, it's global warming. Come on. It's shouldn't be that bad. But looking forward to this event. I was just talking to Ron Murphy a few minutes ago, and he's excited. And I know I'm excited, and you should be excited as well. If you want more information about who's going to be speaking, yes, I'll be talking about that a little bit more as we get towards December and January. You can go to twinsburgparanormal.com and get more information about the Twinsburg Paranormal Conference. And gosh, we should be talking about it for like a half hour every show, probably, if I'm putting this event on. But I think it's going to be good. I'm not, we're not going to have the A-list people or people on TV, but I'm telling you, the people that are speaking at this event will blow you away. You might not have heard of any of these people. You might know some of these people. I've talked about almost all of these people have had a book of the week, or I've been speaking at an event with these people, highly respected people in the paranormal, and all across the entire gamut, from UFOs to cryptozoology. Ron Murphy's going to be talking about vampires. When's the last time you went to a paranormal conference and somebody talked about vampires? Good stuff. And cryptozoology, UFOs, and ghosts. Two very, very good ghost speakers coming up as well. So check it out. Again, twinsburgparanormal.com for the Twinsburg Paranormal Conference taking place February 17th. And, well, you didn't come to the Paranormal News to hear me talk about conferences and conventions, especially my stuff, right? So let's jump in to the news. We're not going to do that. I want to talk about something else real quick. Next week, that's Sunday, November 26th, I'm going to be on Beyond the Edge Radio with host Eric Altman, good friend of mine. Eric's an awesome, awesome researcher, awesome dude, great influence on for myself and a lot of other people out there. I'm excited to be back on his show. We had a little hiccup earlier this year with his internet. It was kind of like what was happening here once. Was into a good spiel and the whole thing went down and crashed. But looking forward to Beyond the Edge Radio, November 26th. That's a late night show. I'm going to have to get my beauty sleep before that. Now, we'll get into the paranormal news for this week. And we're going to jump into cryptid news. And I mentioned this at the teasers at the beginning of the show. Mountain lions and fake news. You never thought that you'd hear these two things together. And I follow mountain lions very closely, and the news, I should say. And there is a ton of news and a ton of information. There is a lot of conspiracy type things going on with the states here in the eastern coast, as well as what's happening in South Africa. This is a little weird. This is the kind of thing that's happening a lot more frequently. Now, when one hears the phrase fake news, obviously one doesn't think about mountain lions, but there have been many hoaxes and falsified news stories created about these creatures as the controversy of their existence, or I should say lack thereof, heightens. Now, one such story is lately is based in the Commonwealth of Virginia. A flyer has been circulating in Virginia with the official Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, DGIF. I guess they all have the little letters. The official letterhead at the top, so it looks official. It looks legit. Now, the flyer read in part, quote, "Recently there have been several credible reported sightings as well as wildlife camera footage of a North American mountain lion, also known as a cougar, in the Slate Lick area of Folks Run. Mountain lions are no longer native to Virginia. If its presence is confirmed, it is possible due to a weather-related variation in its seasonal migration route. While attacks on humans are relatively rare, mountain lions can be extremely dangerous if they feel threatened," unquote. And this flyer finished with some basic instruction on what to do if encountering a mountain lion and who to call. And it's certainly not Ghostbusters. While the flyer looks legit, the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries says it's completely false. The state agency also points out that there have not been any confirmed sightings in Virginia since the last one was shot back in 1882. They state they do receive about 2 to 4 reports a month about mountain lion sightings, but these never include a body. Typically, mountain lions are usually hit by cars every now and again. One of the famous ones happened a few years ago. One got hit outside the New York City, about 40 miles north of there. Got hit by a car, traveled 2,000 miles across the United States, and gets hit by a car. So that happens. These reports in Virginia also do not ever include tracks or other physical evidence. That's what these people need to really validate these. Typically, these reports turn out to be misidentification of a large house cat, a dog, bobcats usually, or something else. Now, Virginia also utilizes a bow hunter survey that includes over 360,000 hours of man hours, essentially, in the woods without a single observation of a mountain lion. Many photographs that pop up are claimed to have been taken in Virginia of mountain lions and are always taken from other states. While I would love to say it's just a matter of time until mountain lions appear in Virginia, that's really difficult to say. As you know, I mentioned South Dakota, and there's a lot of a little bit of conspiracy going on. There's also a lot of slaughtering going on of mountain lions in the Black Hills region of South Dakota. It's gotten worse, and it just seems like there's – I don't know. I just think there's pressure from the eastern states to maintain this breeding population. This is the closest breeding population to the East Coast as you can get. And that's where a lot of these mountain lions are coming from. One was shot in Chicago about 11 years ago, and I mentioned the one that went all the way almost to New York City, was hit by a car. A number of mountain lion sightings here in Ohio and a lot of other states, but those are disappearing. You don't hear too much about these anymore, legitimate sightings. You hear a lot about these falsified ones, these photographs that are from all over the place, just not in the state where they say they are. It happens a lot, especially on internet forums and Facebook. People are spreading the same pictures all over the place. And, you know, these agencies, they spend a lot of time and man hours looking at this stuff and trying to verify the validity of all these stories. But it's sad. I would love to see mountain lions reestablish themselves. I mean, they were here before we were. We killed off the deer, but we brought the deer back, and now there's no natural predators. So I don't know. I think they should just be allowed to kind of come back. I mean, obviously, people are, you know, people are afraid of getting attacked and all these things. And, but, you know, it's really rare. It really doesn't happen all that often. And a bear can be more dangerous to people than a mountain lion. Yeah, what else do we have? Wow, so that was weird. Keeping track of a story here I'm going to talk about. They just kind of came in live. And weird, awkward. Anyway, let me get the link here to that story I just talked about, Virginia Fake News. I'm going to throw that in the chat room here. And if you're listening to this to the show, you're listening live, you can you might be in the chat room. You might not be in the chat room. I don't know where you're at. But we do have a chat room. If you go to WCJVradio.com, you can click on the live link and join us in the chat room. You can ask questions. You can see all of these links that I'm putting in here live as they happen. And don't fear. Don't fear. I also put them on the Paranews Insider Facebook site, which is Paranews Insider, and also through Twitter at Paranews Insider. So you can get all of these links no matter what. If you want to wait a few days, you can do that. Or you can get them live here in the chat room as well. No pressure. You don't have to be here. It's not a requirement. But we'd love to have you here. And a special shout out to anybody listening that saw us on Spreaker. I guess the show and our network was featured on Spreaker, which is awesome. So if you're listening in from Spreaker, a very special hello to you and a normal hello to everyone else. I know it should be the same. So yeah, anyway, next story, place your bets, place your bets, get your money, get out there and let's do some, I'm not a gambling person, but this is an interesting story. The odds for locating the Loch Ness Monster have been slashed. I did not know there was odds. I didn't know there was an official keeping thing for this. But anyway, bookmakers have reacted to the 8 confirmed sightings. It's actually 9 now, which I covered in last week's show by cutting the odds from a staggering 5,000-1 to a still not so promising 500-1. Now, I don't know. I understand the odds a little bit, obviously, not a betting person. So kind of put that into perspective. Consider that as of last Thursday, the Miami Dolphins, Arizona Cardinals, Denver Broncos, Chicago Bears, Houston Texans, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers all have 500-1 odds of winning the Super Bowl. The other thing is I don't really follow football. Ugh. I know I'm from the Cleveland, Ohio area, but we don't really have a football team here. They left a long time ago and never really came back. 2017 is a record year for Loch Ness Monster sightings, and it's actually the most sightings this century with 8. Well, that's actually 9. All these stories are coming out saying 8, but there's actually 9 if you count them. On the official website hosted by Gary Campbell. That's at LochNessSightings.com. Him and his team, which I think it's just him. The last sighting, remember I talked about that last week about this kid. He's a young budding cryptozoologist. Saw this, he just took pictures. He didn't see it actually happen. It looks like a little fin coming out of the water. Well, Gary Campbell and his team were on the fence with that actual photograph, and they said they were 50-50 on it being, quote, the real deal. But ultimately, they decided to give the photograph, quote, the benefit of the doubt, unquote. Very scientific. Great analysis. Let's just throw it in there for the benefit of the doubt. Again, you can go to LochNessSightings.com to check out the current listing of Loch Ness Monster sightings. And if you want the weird story of the bookmakers adjusting the odds, I'm going to put that also in the chat room as well. Weird. I don't know. I never heard of that before, but wow. Yeah, so I was just a couple minutes ago, I was talking, and then all of a sudden I hear this person talking at me. And I'm like, what's going on? It's got to be a commercial on one of the websites that I'm on. And it freaks me out. And it's irritating because you have to find out which site it's coming from. And then I heard them talking about Bigfoot and Yeti. So I knew exactly which website that was. It's weird because that was my next story, which is right here, right now. And there's only a few hours left to help make history. Yes, you. No, not you. Yes, you right there. You can be a part of history. Okay, maybe not history. How about a board game? Almost the same thing, right? I don't know. Maybe it could be history. You never know. It's almost Christmas. You need stuff to buy for Christmas. A company called Shoot Again Games has created a Kickstarter campaign for a new board game titled Bigfoot versus Yeti, where 9 cryptids are featured, where you can be an up-and-coming cryptozoologist and help discover new animals, as well as become part of the battle between Bigfoot and his cousin, the Yeti. The campaign ends tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, and before I came on the show, about 6:41 p.m. I checked, and they had $5,893 of the total $6,000 they needed to fund this, and it was from 223 backers. And this Kickstarter campaign is an all-or-nothing campaign, so if it does not reach its goal, it will not be created at all. And I don't know why, but apparently one of the people, they're on there live. They're on the Kickstarter thing, and they're showing the cards right now, and it looks really exciting, looks really neat. And there's a live chat going on right now. Bunch of people in there. I guess they're doing a live Q&A, and they're showing all the cards for the game. It looks kind of cool. It almost looks like, I don't want to say Pokemon or Digimon or whatever those things are, those weird cards. But again, there's 9 cryptids. This lady's really into this. She's excited. It's live right now. Let's see. It's still at 5,893. Let me refresh this. We're going to go live here. We're live. We're ultra live. We're live on the air, and we're also live. Well, it's still 5,893, pledged of $6,000 from 223 backers with 3 hours to go. Ouch. Hopefully they can make it. Yeah, they're excited about this. They're live. Huh. Well, I got a show to do. I can't listen to that. Anyway, Shoot Again Games. Let me get the Kickstarter thing going here. I'm going to post this on the Facebook page as well, right after the show. If I remember, hopefully somebody can remember, remind me, because I know I'll forget. I usually do forget. But let me throw that in the chat room in case you want to throw in a nickel, a dime, $5. I don't know. I don't think they have any. Let's see. You can pledge without a reward, or you can pledge a dollar or more. You get access to updates. That's not really all that exciting. You can become a junior cryptozoologist with $3 or more. That's exciting. You get a full color print and play version of the game emailed to you. Interesting. So, you know, you have different pledge $19 or more, and you can become part of Team Bigfoot or Team Yeti. Let's see. Well, $36 or more, you get different stuff, different things. It's cool. Just check it out. It's an interesting game, and it probably is not going to be delivered until after the year. Well, it says estimated delivery December 2017. So maybe you can get this for Christmas. Sounds like an interesting thing. I'm going to keep an eye on it. Hopefully we can see at the end of the show if they make it or not. I don't know. It's going to be tight. Going to be really tight. Love Kickstarter. What an interesting thing. It's great. I've had some really interesting stories from that. Anyway, we're going to jump to UFO news. I'm going to stop watching this live press conference here, this lady throwing cards all over the place. And we're going to go to Puerto Rico. Not really. I mean, kind of. The story is, we're not. I don't have that kind of money. Our budget's pretty low here. I had to save for 3 months to buy a new mug. Should be here next week. Some good news out of Puerto Rico. It's been just barely over 2 months since Hurricane Maria made landfall on September 20th in Puerto Rico. However, less than half of the country, estimated at 40.6% of the people there, have power after 2 months. And I complain about 2.5 days. Despite the heavily damaged infrastructure, the U.S. territory, we now have something positive to celebrate. It's been announced that the Arecibo Radio Telescope will continue to operate with funding by the National Science Foundation. The NSF has been slowly backing away its efforts to cover the $12 million budget of the radio telescope that did suffer some minor damage during Hurricane Maria. Now, there were rumors that the telescope would cease operation if repair costs were too high. The announcement by the National Science Foundation promises a continued $8.3 million of the $12 million budget, which this actually has been in place for a number of years, with the rest of the money hopefully coming from other sources. The Arecibo Radio Telescope is the second largest in the world, next to the FAST radio telescope that went online in China last year. Arecibo is responsible for locating the first planets outside of the solar system way back in 1992. It sent a message into outer space from Carl Sagan and Frank Drake and keeps an ear out for fast radio bursts as well as near-Earth asteroids, which is extremely important. Because if we didn't have that, we might not see the big one coming. And Arecibo has also been featured in a number of movies. It was featured in the movie Contact, I believe. And it's also kind of sort of partially responsible for the Chupacabra, believe it or not. Ask Ben Radford, who was a guest last night on Colin Schneider's show. He wrote the book on it. Literally. And we throw that link in the chat room. Very short story, but of course, very important for the advancement of science. That's a big deal. Might not seem like a big deal, but there's not that many radio telescopes, and this being the second largest in the world, I don't know how much China is really going to share with the rest of the world or what they're going to, you know, there might be a very heavy delay on information. And yeah, you might be sitting around for years about some of these things, but it's just a really just awe-inspiring how much information has occurred since you know, the early 90s with this radio telescope, how much information we've gathered. And yeah, maybe old, maybe ragged, but it's built, and to build a new one would cost in the $1 billion range. So funding $8.3 million a year honestly really isn't all that much money in the long run versus building a new one from scratch and finding a place to build it on top of that. So let me get that link in the chat room there. Sasquatch Coffee. They got plenty of Sasquatch Coffee places out in Washington. Seen a couple of them. They have a, like, drive-thrus. It's pretty cool. Dual drive-thrus. Sasquatch Coffee places. I'm drinking tea. Bigelow Tea. Can't beat it. Love it. Should get a sponsorship with them. Anyway. Trying to see here. Okay, we're done with UFO news. We're going to jump into some other news, and I just kind of talked about this, exoplanets. Out-of-this-world stuff. Yeah, I love this tea. But before we do that, I got to back myself up here. We're at the bottom of the hour, so I have to do this. I just want to let you know that you're listening to WCJV, digital broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com, and you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Now, I think I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the show. I've got this huge, it's like highlighted in bright yellow, and it's like 50-some-odd font, but I still forgot to mention this. Now, I'm still working on this, but next week was my goal to start the top 10 paranormal news stories for 2017. Yeah, I know. It's only November 28th, but my goodness, they're already playing Christmas music, and it's not even Thanksgiving. It's insane. You know, every time you play a Christmas song before Thanksgiving, an elf throws a rock at a deer. Just so you know, I'm not making it up. I say I've seen the memes for it. It's out there. Yes, the top 10 paranormal news stories for 2017. You know, some years are really easy to do this. I've been doing this for actually doing the top 10 only for, I think, 8 years now, 7 years, something like that. I didn't really do this when we were a monthly show. Wasn't really all that much information. But in the last few years, seven or eight years, I've been doing a top 10 paranormal news countdown. And I'll look at all the news stories and just kind of throw them in a pot and just kind of look at different things, how viral they were, how important they were to the particular individual field, and just kind of weigh them against different things and see which ones really have that pull that really made a difference, really have a potential for being a huge story in the future. And I tell you, I've had a difficult time. There's literally, let's see, about 50 some odd stories that are all vying for basically the top 10. And there's really nothing that really, truly, honestly sticks out. There might be a few in your mind that you're thinking of right now that you would consider potentially being one of those top 10 stories. But and sometimes I do bundle things together, like a handful of these Bigfoot stories will probably get put together. Some of these planets, exoplanets, which is the next story that we're going to talk about, also kind of get bundled together. It's probably not enough to stand on its own, but you put it together with a very similar story and, you know, it gets a little bit more weight. But I'm telling you, regardless of how the top 10 shakes out, it's going to be a very controversial top 10 this year. And I know last year, some people weren't very happy with it because it went based on virality, you know, how viral a story was. But it's hard. I mean, again, this is just my opinion on this stuff. But telling you, this is shaping up to be a very controversial one. So you're going to want to tune in. And again, like I said, there's 50 stories, but I've kind of narrowed it down to 27. 27, yeah, all vying for the top 10. So it's going to be rough, and hopefully I can get that finalized in the next couple of days so we can actually start talking about it next week. Because what I do is I'll debut two at a time. So that would be 5 weeks, and we would wrap up after Christmas. I'd rather not do it going into the new year. But if I can't get it solidified, we will start it the week after. But the goal is next week, but I have a lot to do. There's literally 87 pages worth of material that I have to go through, kind of re-edit, rewrite, and get ready for the show for next week. That's a lot of work. But you guys are worth it. You really are. And it's been a fun year. Been a lot of interesting news, a lot of weird stories, a lot of different things. Let me put it to you that way. But again, nothing really super major like we had last year with the clown pandemic, the Wessie snake incident that happened that dragged on through the summertime. You know, and just those stories just didn't happen this year. But we did have some interesting stuff. So it'll all come down to the top 10 paranormal news stories, hopefully debuting next week. So in other news, a new exoplanet has been discovered. And this one's 11 light years away from Earth. The exoplanet dubbed Ross 128b orbits around a red dwarf star about every 9.9 days, but potentially has a surface temperature close to that of Earth's, which makes it a very high candidate for being able to support life. It's good. There's a few people I'd like to send there. However, astronomers are not yet sure whether Ross 128b is within the so-called Goldilocks zone, where a planet is neither too close nor too far for liquid water to form on the surface. The planet Proxima b is the closest planet to Earth that is within this zone and is 4.2 light years away. Ross 128b is essentially a great backup if Proxima b is discovered to not harbor life on its surface or could potentially provide safe harbor for humans in the distant future. Won't be anytime soon. You know, it sounds really close. Like, wow, it's only 4.2 light years away. But it would still take a long time to get there. We don't have any technology that can even approach the speed of light. Very pulky technology, I would say, that we have compared to averaging it with the speed of light. It would take a long time to actually get all the way out there. And then you add in, if you put people in there, you've probably seen all these movies where people have to go into hibernation chambers and all these other things. Unfortunately, probably something would happen. People would be born and raised, live a lifetime in these ships just to get out there. They're estimating it would take, I think it was like 45, 60, 50 some odd years to get out to even to Proxima B with the basic technology. Because again, if you're hauling humans, you're going to have to haul a lot of other stuff, and weight slows down spacecraft. They are talking about sending very teeny tiny drones through space that would be able to utilize different forces that a larger ship couldn't, that would be able to get there a lot quicker and take some pictures, which would be pretty neat. And they probably would put it in a special edition magazine that I'm certain I would buy and have piled up in my magazine drawer here with all my other ones. But anyway, really cool stuff that all these exoplanets are being discovered. I love space. I love all this stuff. It's fascinating to me, and just all these discoveries. You really expect all this stuff. You know, it's sad that the whole space shuttle thing is over with. Grew up with that, and now it's gone. And you know, the parents grew up with the landing on the moon. Ooh, was that real? I don't know. Was it? We'll find out tonight. But you know, the kids don't really have that much stuff to look up to now. You know, they don't have the astronauts. They don't have all this stuff. You know, I talk about this all the time, but hopefully these discoveries will enlighten some kids out there, and you know, we'll have scientists of the future that are looking to the skies and looking to the stars. But hopefully we get to some new discoveries, and that's pretty sad. You know, it just kind of hits me when I read about all these things that, you know, I'll probably not be around when we land on another planet like that. But I don't know. Hopefully we get on Mars before I get too old, decrepit, I lose my memory. Anyway, paranormal conferences. This was a story I had a very fun time reading as well as putting in tonight's show. Wow. You know, I mentioned paranormal conferences, conventions here on the show. Obviously, I talk about them all the time, and I have a whole list of these things on the website at paranewsinsider.com, in case you weren't aware. And while I don't always include all of them, because frankly, I don't know about all of them. I don't have time to research every single one of them, especially if they're only on Facebook. I do my best. You know, maybe they're a horror or comic book based, more so than paranormal. I don't really like to put those on there. But one of these left off the list this year, but not by purpose, not on purpose. If I would have known about it, honestly, I would have done it just as a gag. It would have been funny. But I didn't hear about it until now. It's over. I missed it. Might even have bought tickets for it. I don't know. It would have been fun. Tell me what you think. The 2017 Flat Earth International Conference. That's right. The 2017 Flat Earth International Conference, the FEIC, was held in Raleigh, North Carolina on November 9th and 10th. The conference had topics such as NASA and other space lies, Flat Earth with the scientific method, waking up to mainstream science lies, and testing the globe. Boy, I would have loved to have seen those presentations. The event organizer, Cryptos Media's Robbie Davidson, who is a Christian creationist, stated that over 500 people attended the conference. Now, if I were you, you might want to put November 15th and 16th, 2018 on your calendar for next year, as this is the date for the next, I guess it would be the second annual, Flat Earth International Conference, which would be held in Denver, Colorado. A little further than Raleigh, but we'll see. Maybe I'll head out there. That would be fun. Now, if you don't know what a flat earther is, you haven't been listening to the show, We poke fun at those guys quite a bit. They've been in the news quite frequently lately. And flat earthers believe that the Earth is a flat plane or a disc surrounded by ice instead of a globe. And they also believe that NASA and other agencies doctor pictures and create lies to fool the general public. So this whole thing is a lie. Anytime you see a satellite picture of Earth, it looks like a sphere. It's fake. That's what they think. I don't think that. You can do simple tests, very simple things to tell that the Earth is not quite flat. Philosophers and early scientists at least 2,500 years ago figured out that the Earth was round, or more accurately, spherical, from very simple observations. 2,500 years ago. And here it is, 2017, and we have people paying money to listen to other people talk about the Earth being flat. I get it. It's a personal belief system. I get it. It's you believe that. You know, it's kind of like a religion or something. But it's not. I mean, there's scientific facts here. And this is another story that I wasn't going to talk about, but I'm going to just kind of briefly mention here. You might have heard about this. This is going to be – could be a big deal. Could be a big deal if things turn out the way they might. If this dude goes through with this and this dude – accomplishes this. I got to find it first. You might have heard about this guy. Self-taught rocket scientist plans to launch over Ghost Town. That's the headline that I'm reading here. So does it take a rocket scientist to tell if the Earth isn't flat? That's the million-dollar question here. Well, this guy, Mad Mike Hughes, he's built his own rocket, and on the side of this rocket, it says "Research Flat Earth." And I thought the story initially was — that's why I didn't initially include it in the Paranormal News Insider tonight. I thought that he was going to launch himself up to see if he could see the curvature of the Earth, which you have to go kind of pretty high to do that. I guess he's not. He's going to do like what's that guy's name? Evel Knievel kind of thing. He doesn't like Evel Knievel, by the way. So that's why I'm saying Evel Knievel, because he doesn't like him. I had a little Evel Knievel doll when I was a kid. I liked the dude and his motorcycle and everything. Cool cat. But anyway, he's going to launch himself. He's built a rocket. Now, not just your normal everyday rocket, but a steam-powered rocket. $20,000 it cost. And he built it himself. $20,000. Yikes. He bought a motorhome for $1,500 off of Craigslist. Then he's using that as the platform to launch this thing. And it's Ghost Town in California. And he's going to launch himself, I think he said, a quarter of a mile. And he says he's going to travel about a mile, I guess. That's pretty far. At a speed of roughly 500 miles per hour. I don't know what could happen, but I don't know if that's possible with steam power. Now, he's done this before, and I thought, my gosh, this guy's going to blow himself up. But he's actually done this a couple of times. He's actually launched — there's YouTube videos of this guy out there. It's weird. It's going to happen this weekend, this Saturday. So there is a YouTube site out there you can watch it with. I'm going to watch it. Well, I'll be working, but I'm going to keep tabs on this. This is insane. Now, not only is this guy crazy like that, you should read the story. He's out there. But if he's successful, and he actually bought extra food for his cats in case something happens, which I thought was weird to put into the story. But if he's successful after his jump, he's going to announce his plans to jump into the race for governor of California. That's all we need. A guy who jumps on steam-powered rockets to be the next governor of California. I mean, couldn't be any worse than an actor. But anyway, that's a story. I didn't really write that story up. I just kind of looked at it. I thought it was funny. we'll find out what happens to this guy. And again, I'll be putting links out about that. And something good happens or something bad happens. Either way, you're going to hear about it. Yeah, it's supposed to be pay-per-view, but it's got a YouTube channel up already, and you can go to his YouTube channel if you want to watch this guy. It's confusing because there's not really been any kind of press release about this. He's just been on all of these stories all over the place. But he does have a YouTube channel, which I just threw in the chat room. I don't know what it's doing. I think I broke it. I think I broke the I just broke the chat room. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. Whoa. Something bad just happened. I don't know what I did. Anyway, I broke the internet. What else is new? So we're going to jump to another story. I think I broke the I broke the internet. It's broken. Sorry about that, everybody. I'm going to be getting a phone call. Anyway, the Washington Post and a lot of other agencies, I guess, are saying the same stuff. This is kind of an interesting story. All right. The headline says it all. And this is from the Washington Post. There's, like I said, there's a bunch of other agencies covering this article. Please stop annoying this NASA scientist with the ridiculous Planet X doomsday theories. That's the actual headline. That's what it says. Please stop annoying this NASA scientist with your ridiculous Planet X doomsday theories. This guy's been busy this year. A short video from NASA senior scientist Dr. David Morrison back in 2011 is at the top of this article, and it starts out with him taking a very deep breath before telling the tale of a 12-year-old girl who is frightened because she hears that the planet Nibiru, however you want to pronounce it, is headed toward Earth, and it's going to collide with us, take us out. Now, Morrison states matter-of-factly that Nibiru does not exist, and that even the designation of Planet X is just a generic term to cover a potential planet that has not yet been proven to exist. The video was made in reaction to the dozens of concerned emails to NASA, and they finally decided they needed to respond to the misinformation. Morrison stated he received very few inquiries into Nibiru back in 2008, but lately things have gotten a little bit annoying. Morrison stated, quote, I now receive at least one question per day, ranging from anguished, such as I can't sleep, I'm really scared, I don't want to die, to the abusive, which includes, why are you lying? You're putting my family at risk. If NASA denies it, then it must be true. Unquote. The whole Nibiru discussion and belief began back in 1995 after Nancy Leder, founder of the website Zeta Talk, claimed that extraterrestrials from the Zeta Reticuli star system had warned her of an impending collision. Since then, the Earth was predicted to collide with Nibiru in 2003, 2012, then in September of 2017, then October 15th of this year, and again just last weekend, in case you weren't aware. But it didn't happen. Why? Because this planet does not exist. And if it were on a collision course, I'm telling you, and this is the most important thing of all, even if it were, you wouldn't need a scientist to tell you. You would see it coming in the night sky. And if something that close, you probably see it even during the day. It'd be huge. There's no such thing as a dark planet. I mean, the sun is shining. It's not going to hide. How is it going to hide? Where's it going to go? Where's it going to go? How's it going to hide? I don't get it. And, you know, all these pictures I see of people, they take the sun and they got the lens flares, or they got multiple suns and the stuff. It, you know, it's natural stuff. It's, you're not going to see – a planet's not going to show up like a star. I don't understand that thought process. But it's kind of cool to see that this NASA scientist, man, he's had enough. He's had enough. Leave the guy alone already. They got more important things to do. All right, there's that story. Boom. Boom. All right. Now, speaking of crackpots, I guess I have to talk about the recent accusation that a photograph taken during the 1972 Apollo 17 mission shows a stagehand, that's what's claimed, a stagehand in the reflection of a helmet. Shouldn't even have to talk about this stuff, folks. I mean, 1972, figure it out. A YouTube conspiracy theorist who calls his channel Street Cap One. You know, I've heard that name before. Anyway, he put up a 4-minute video that questioned the photograph and also claimed that there was no reflection of the camera that took the photo. So along with this purported stagehand, the photograph and entire mission, therefore, was fake. We never went to the moon because this one picture, he says, validates it all, proves it beyond the shadow of a doubt, because this dude was up there, stagehand, with no spacesuit, proves everything was fake. That's it. He did it. That's it. It's over. Throw away the history books. Rewrite it. Street Cap 1 asserts that the reflection in the visor of the astronaut clearly shows a person not wearing a spacesuit. He says, quote, "You can see some sort of, it looks like a man, back in the early 70s, long hair, wearing some sort of waistcoat type thing, and a shadow of that figure, presumably," unquote. Very scientific description there of the scene, and very, you know, broke it down really well there. I mean, to, you know, it's the 70s. Everybody had long hair, I guess, right? I know, I think I did, late 70s. But yeah, I mean, not everybody had long hair. You watch too much Starsky and Hutch. Now, this story has been picked up by Fox News, Newsweek, and a lot of other major news outlets. But the question to me is why? The video has been viewed over 1 million times. And somebody who reacted to this, this is the best. This is why I'm kind of covering it from this angle. A gentleman named Phil Plate, who goes by the username @BadAstronomer. Now, he's had plenty of practice unraveling the claims of hoax believers over the years. He comes out with some great stories, and he pulls no punches. He's a great scientist, very good astronomer, very knowledgeable about not just astronomy, but astronauts and all these missions and the reality of space. Now, he breaks down the photograph, which is of Gene Cernan, which centers on a reflection of what is claimed to be a stagehand again. Now, the person in the photograph, I should say in the reflection, is actually Harrison Jack Schmidt, a geologist and astronaut, and is a person who actually did take the photograph. Now, all one has to do is understand how the curved face mask will alter how we see objects in the reflection, and that the person is not only in a spacesuit, but the portable life support system, the backpack that is said to not be on this long-haired stagehand, can actually clearly be seen in the shadow of the astronaut. Kind of Street Cap 1 just kind of didn't really acknowledge that, just kind of sidestepped it a little bit. Now, Plate also adds in his article, he says, quote, "This kind of stuff from people like Street Cap 1 irritates me for a lot of reasons. This sort of thinking and conspiracy mongering degrades people's ability to think critically. We have experts for a reason. They have devoted years, sometimes their entire lives, to studying and understanding phenomena. And then some person with essentially zero experience or understanding of the imagery comes along and says some obvious, obviously ridiculous thing, yet gets people to believe them. And it denigrates science. It demeans one of the most amazing challenges humans have ever undertaken, one of the greatest accomplishments in our history. Perhaps even worse, it's painful to see a magazine like Newsweek promulgate such nonsense. I'll note that in the article, the writer didn't seek out any expert advice despite a dozen people who could be easily found using a Google search. I'm one of them, and it took me literally 3 minutes to figure out exactly what's in this photo. So yeah, it's irritating." Unquote. Drop the mic, unplug it, put it back in the box, take it back to Walmart. He ends the article with this brilliant point. Quote, if there's a lesson to be learned here, it's that this little episode shows how flawed humans can be, how easily we can be swayed by the flimsiest of claims. That is part of our nature, just as it is part of our nature to seek out the truth, to investigate the unknown, and to explore it. And while critical thinking and judicious skepticism are harder to implement and may be part of our and may not be part of our nature, I'll remind you that we invented science. We recognize that we can be fooled, and we created an entire field of thinking and investigation to minimize that issue. And the beauty is, it works. After all, for real and for sure, it sent us to the moon. Unquote. Boom. I love it when scientists fight back. You know, it's two stories right here in a row that talk about scientists fighting back and saying, hey, enough. Enough with this crazy thinking, crazy talk. unfortunately, people believe these outlandish conspiracy theories. And, you know, this is a paranormal-based radio show. And I'm sure I do attract a lot of people that do have these kind of thoughts and theories that maybe we did not go to the moon. You know, that's you're free to think that. I'm not saying that you're wrong to think that. But the evidence is there. I mean, it's hard to ignore. I mean, embrace it, embrace the future, embrace the past. We can't ignore it. And I'm going to get into the book of the week, which kind of borders on all this stuff. But first, let me copy the link here and throw it in the chat room. And hopefully I don't hit Dia again. I hit her pretty hard with the last story. I think I knocked her off her chair. There it is. Now, as I mentioned, the book of the week is actually a magazine. I know I'm a big sucker for these things. It's kind of a waste of money. They're really expensive. But this one is really interesting. And I did talk about one a couple of weeks ago. The popular science, Are We Alone? The Searching for Life in Space, again, a special edition. This one is very similar to that one in that it's a, again, it's a special edition. And it is about space. It's about discovery. And this one is actually, you know, I just made fun of it and I feel bad. It is made by Newsweek. And it's called Life Beyond Earth, The Mission to Find the Answer. And this one's a little bit different. The earlier one was the other one I mentioned. It was really structured really well, and it really focused on the the discoveries of all these new planets. The TRAPPIST-1, which has got a lot of press this year. It focused on all these new exoplanets, these latest discoveries since 1992, focused on a lot of the science of this stuff. But this one here kind of focuses a little bit more, I don't want to say outlandish stuff or fringy things, but a lot of the people and stories behind this, it talks about crop circles. It talks about people like Travis Walton and Betty and Barney Hill. So it talks about abductions, and it talks about the skeptical side and just the beginnings of our inquiry into life beyond Earth. And it's this – the Newsweek edition kind of hints more toward, you know, the intelligent extraterrestrial, where the other magazine I mentioned, the popular science version, really seemed like it was more focused on just basic life or even – just discovering water on another planet. So it's this one that I'm talking about here on Newsweek is a little bit kind of dysfunctional to an extent. It's kind of broken down into three parts. First here, it says the mystery, where what do we know about the possibility of alien life and how do we know about it? Delve deeper into the secrets of life beyond Earth. Then it goes into the search. And it talks about the men and women who have dedicated their lives to pursuing the truth about aliens, no matter where that hunt leads. Then it goes into the influence. Our dreams of life beyond the stars have inspired some compelling works of art, which I really enjoyed that part because if you've read my book or know that I wrote a book on UFOs, I spent a considerable amount of time talking about the cultural influences we have on UFOs. And this magazine did a really nice job of talking about the movies and the books and different things that have come out about UFOs, especially the movies, and how it's influenced our belief systems about UFOs, a potential alien life out there, good or bad or indifferent. We are influenced by a culture a lot, the cultural that's thrown at us from movies. Now we're not, you know, obviously like the Marvel movies and stuff isn't going to influence all that much. But you think about Independence Day, where we're being attacked, and Battleship, and all these other movies that talk about alien invasions. It does have an influence on us, a negative one at that. And it really goes into our kind of our caveman mentality, wanting to conquer and kill and control everything. Cage anything up that we don't understand, or kill it if we don't understand it, or cage it up if we want to study it, or slice and dice it. And that could get us into a lot of trouble. But this magazine really explores all these facets, and it's really – I'm not one for a lot of pictures, but this has a lot of really interesting pictures, a lot of pictures I've never seen before, and it's almost worth it just for the pictures. I know that sounds weird to say, but you can get it if you know where to go. I got mine. I spent way too much money. Got mine at Walmart for I saved a little bit of money on the cover price, but they went $10.99. That's the cover price for it. It's going to be out until – it says keep on the shelf till December 9th, but you can probably still get it looking here on Amazon. And let me throw that link. I think it's – of course, it doesn't want to load. But you can get it for $9.74, single-issue magazine. If you go to eBay, there's also ones that are a little bit cheaper. I think I saw some for like $3-4. I always find them cheaper after I buy it, but you can get it. It's something. I mean, it's not going to give you any groundbreaking information. It's not going to provide you with something that you can't get elsewhere. But it's an interesting collection of stories, and the photographs as well. Again, some of this stuff I've never seen before. So to me, it was worth it just for that. And it's good for a collection. If you're into UFOs, you're into aliens, and you're into that potential. Wondering if the truth is out there. Definitely something you want to pick up and put in your collection for later on. And so that is, again, Life Beyond Earth, The Mission to Find the Answer. A special Newsweek edition is your book of the week this week, magazine of the week, single issue magazine specials. I'm such a sucker for these things. I think a Bigfoot one last year, the year before, got me started on all that stuff. And yeah, they're coming from Nibiru, coming here. So anyway, big thanks to Cindy, my producer, and to Dita and Paul there in the chat room for putting this show together and bringing it to all the ears out there all over the world, and to my good Spreaker friends out there tuning in. Again, thank you very much. Anybody and everybody, I really appreciate you guys listening in tonight to the show. Love doing this stuff. And again, don't forget next week, if all goes well and I have time and I don't get distracted on Facebook or somewhere else, the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2017 will begin. Either way, even if I'm not done with it, I'm going to start talking about some of the stories that didn't quite make it. And some of the funny stories too, some of the outlandish stuff. It's a good time of the year. It does take 5 weeks to do this though, so bear with it. The countdown is slow, but I don't want to hog up an entire show doing a countdown. But anyway, that's just the way I do it. So everybody out there, appreciate you again. Thank you for listening and for tuning in to the Paranormal News Insider here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting. And I guess that's it. I'll see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.